Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to Al-Islam-based conversations. We want to begin, as we always begin, with our promise, and that is to not waste your time or insult your intelligence. May not seem like much, but it's a commitment, you know, and if we do it on a regular basis and be consistent about it, it'll be a part of who we are and what we stand for. And it also will demonstrate a little bit about our belief system, that we you know, like the preamble, we hold these truths to be self-evident, you know. And so I stick to the benefit of what I just said. It benefits the audience. It puts trust and faith in the people who are listening, and hopefully they'll realize that it's not a waste of time. You know, we're trying to deal with subject matter that is very significant in the community now, and in the society now, in the culture now. And people are offering their solutions, and we're offering our solutions. And we're saying to the general public or whoever listens that at least compare, give it a chance, give it a trial run, give it a look. You know, get the messenger out of the way, you know, get the message out of the way to a certain degree. I mean, this is not condemning necessarily. It's just shedding light on a specific situation or something that's presently happening, and we are maybe making the mistake of blaming it on life or our life. You know, the world of man is the environment that we usually are feeding, not usually, that we're feeding from. And he gets some things right and he gets some things wrong. And some of it's unintentional, but some of it's intentional. So we have to be able to determine which one is which. And we also have to be able to determine in a reasonable amount of time, you know, whether we're being tricked or not, you know. Not conspiracy theory, just them under, and I don't mean just white people, I mean leaders who are under the influence of a devilish being or devilish entity called Satan or Shaitan, whichever one you prefer. But the goal is the same. To disprove our worthiness of being the leader, the caliph, or the one that's going to be in charge, and set out a long, long time ago and had a conversation, or it's in scripture that this conversation took place as he became the first disbeliever, and he objected to Adam and the role that Adam was going to play, and then you know the story. And so this is what we're going to kind of start with, this thing called life, you know. Four letters, L-I-F-E, and they are, we are going to use words, five letters, W-O-R-D-S, to hopefully get us home, another four-letter word, H-O-M-E. And by home, what I mean by is where we come to balance, that homeostasis, that peace of mind, that tranquility, you know, where we are convinced and we've been converted to the belief that there is a God and that God answers prayers and he is in people's lives in various different ways, and you can see the evidence of him being in your life or not in your life. You can see miraculous things happening and taking place in your life or in the world, and it's just an obvious evidence that this is there is a creator, there is a God, there is a someone in charge of all of this, and he even though we use a he pronoun, is not an entity, a person, but it very serves the purpose. It's the message across. So we say that in other scriptures before, other people before came us, they use the pronoun. And sometimes they use language that suggests that God is a man, but God is not a man. God is not an entity. And he wants us to know that. And very importantly, he wants us to know that, because when we think otherwise, we get ourselves in trouble or we fall victim to those who want to trick or lie to us or make us believe something that's not true about God and that he said it and that this is the way to go about it and this is what you should do when you encounter situations like this. And if you study it long enough and let it develop, you'll believe nothing can be further from the truth. It's just not true. Sounds good, maybe. It's been heard. It's been said consistently. It's become a part of the dialogue that we use to define or to describe or to make it known in a way where I can believe that or I believe that. But it's not. When it really examined with scripture, which is synonymous with light or enlightenment, then you see the whole picture. You see it with clarity that we just didn't see it with before. So we were making some mistakes. We were making some assumptions. We were being pulled in emotionally. We were, they say the people who pray, they get preyed upon, because we can take the ritual of prayer too far. It does what it does, but it's not necessarily. It's not necessarily like knowledge that elevates our consciousness. We have to have a consciousness to go along with the rituals. If we're not conscious, if we're not aware of what to do once we get up off of the prayer rug, how to go about it. You know, we talked about it last week of the who and what and the when and the how and the why. We need to answer those questions, and once those questions are answered, we'll feel a sense of peace. We'll feel like we know what we're doing, and then we'll start to get the results that really will prove to us that we do know what we're doing. Doesn't mean we solve all our problems. Doesn't mean our problems are going to go away entirely. It just means that particular problem and that particular situation and that particular request that you're making, yeah, the prayer was answered. The challenge that you're having to meet can be met now. We talked about that word, you know, meeting a challenge and addressing situations. That's a very comforting feeling when you have gotten yourself in touch with the reality to cause the problem that was once a problem to no longer be a problem. Very much a human, I would say, I guess, tool or skill that's needed. And people who don't have it suffer greatly. And we know the saying that it says that, you know, misery loves company. And that's true. People who are out of touch or not able to dictate to their circumstances, but the circumstances are dictating to them, then they feel a sense of wanting this to be that way in someone else's life. And unfortunately, it's growing. There's a growing, I won't say hostility, but there's a growing negativity to where people feel no sensitivity or empathy for other people. They want you to be suffering like they're suffering, or be hurt like they've been hurt and haven't healed, and they want you to be hurt too. And they go about it in a way where they want to draw you in or bring you into their circle of pain, or say things or do things that will make you feel uncomfortable or unworthy or whatever. It's happening today. And I'm sure if you think about what I'm saying, you can find many, many examples, and really up close and personal, from people that you know, you might call relatives, you might call loved ones. They feel a need, and especially you see it, people driving cars, road rage, they call it. It's very common, I think, and it's more frequent nowadays than it has been in the past. There was isolated incidences, but now it's very common. And people blowing their horns, not just to get your attention and say, maybe you had to sleep at the wheel, or you're going a little slow, or maybe you're new in the town and you got your directions a little wrong. You make a kind of a bad move, or don't drive with the confidence that they would like to see, and they will make it known to you with their horn. But it seems to be more anger, you know, or they will cut around you or cut in front of you or go past you as if you committed some crime. And this is not good. You know, you can get this, a mindset to kind of ignore it and give them an excuse for being that way. But when you see that's the condition of the world today, you can't excuse everybody. You can't make an excuse for everybody. We can't hide our head in the ground like an ostrich or somebody. These are real troubling times, and there's an absence of consciousness, you know. It's one thing to have it, but it's another thing to have the ability to use it and know when. Know when it's time to, as the Bible says, turn that other cheek or forgive that person, you know, or persons. It's something that it doesn't come easy, especially now, you know. Some things that we think maybe should be better by now, and they're still happening. You know? But what we may be lacking, or not what we may be lacking, but what's lacking is that, do we have a firm grip on a firm perspective of how to heal and mend these different things that we've been subjected to and get some closure and move on with our life? Because if you look at the extent of some things, you know, one of them is slavery and the way we were dehumanized world's mind's eye, and especially in this country. It's hard to get past that sometimes, because you get a constant reminder, a daily reminder of the past. And if we're not careful, we will be living in the past versus the future. We will ignore and deny all of the success and the progress that we have made, and we will not be saying that we've come a long way, even though we have a long way to go. It's not like it used to be. And a lot of, and most of, what we need to do to change it is make some changes in ourselves. We just got to get better at some things that we're doing or not doing, and we'll see a big difference. You know, and I guess I'll say historically, excuse me, this has been the case where you see a few people take the lead and get people excited and get the results that we've been crying for and complaining about and praying for, get that and demonstrate that it's possible. Because we've said this before, what we've encountered or what we're encountering are human problems. No matter how grievous or egregious they may seem or appear or terrible or heinous, you know, or devilish or whatever you want to call it, it's still in the human realm. Now, we have to maybe describe it in a way that says it's inhumane on the part of people to be able to do it. But that's just to get the ball rolling or get some kind of definition up on the table so we can realize, well, see, this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it, how you can see it manifesting itself and why it's problematic for the person that's doing it and for the person who's being on the receiving end. It is very problematic, you know, to have let yourself slip to the point to where you have no conscience and no, it doesn't bother you have put your fellow human being in a precarious situation to deny and demonize or to marginalize that us or anybody to that point to where we are told and the public is told that we shouldn't be afforded the same as everybody else. And sometimes, like I said before, when you talk about it or you're describing it or you are presenting it so that people can see it, the person who possibly is doing it and the people who probably are receiving it. It's not easy. But it's a whole lot easier when you can move on, like I said before, and see the progress that's been made. And I mean real progress on the part of individuals and groups of communities. You know, I work at a school and I see the day-to-day activity that goes on. And I know back when I was going to school, when I was being bussed, that wasn't even any, it wasn't even a small taste of harmony on the part of where I was at. Maybe some people did have it, you know, whatever, but it was not accepted. It was not tolerated. It was, and people were demonstrating that they felt bullied by the government. You know, they feel that they passed this law and had nothing to do with anything but melon count and conscience and some goody two shoes religious people or letting their conscience bother them and they come up with these laws and constitutional rights that they had and affirmative action and all that, and it really didn't sit well and still haven't sit well in a lot of people's feeling that it was right. We claim double standards and they equally claim double standards. They say that it's a double standard to enforce or force other people to have to accept other people when in the past it wasn't. And the government shouldn't take sides. Anyway, so we can go on and on with that, just to examine it and trying to see where it's at now and what we should be doing. And I guarantee you this here, what we should be doing is what we're trying to do tonight on the program. We're trying to let Scripture pave the way for this freedom, justice, and equality that I just described. It wasn't in place. You know, you can very easily slip into the mode of, you know, two wrongs make a right. They did wrong, so therefore that qualifies me to do wrong, and I'm justifying my wrong based on their wrong, and I'm doing it by matching terms. If they did that to us, then we should show them how it feels to have it done to them. And then if you don't step back and get your heart involved along with your head, you won't see that nothing got solved. What happened was what the program said, the hate that hate produced. And it's not letting anybody off the hook when you make that determination that the best resolution is to put it in God's hands and let him guide me to the solution versus then me thinking I've taken charge of the thing by doing A, B, C, and D. Because there's so many questions that can't be answered with just a black and white picture. You know, how much is a life worth? So how do you determine, you know, mulling 40 acres and whatever you're saying we need to get after post-slavery when the magnitude of what was done, you can't put a price on it. So that tells you, or should tell us, that you don't start there trying to monetarily or get some kind of reparations or funding for what happened. Because it's not going to replace what happened, and it's not going to restore the faculties and the capabilities that were altered in order for it to take or whatever we were, whatever tribe we was, and whatever name we had, and whatever belief system we had, and just take it all down and reduce it down with this devilish, in this devilish manner, to where even the people don't feel that they have this value anymore, and they conduct themselves. And books have been written, and one of the best is The Miseducation of the Negro. We might not lack word, verbiage, or whatever, but he chronicles and shows the systemic way that this was done and what needs to be done to undo it. And still today, it's relevant. It's consequential to be able to bring us out of a very serious, devilish, systemic racism, you know, institutional is the word I'm looking for. I'm sorry, institutional racism. So if that, you know, and I'm sort of on the tear, I want to bring this to a halt. But I'm saying, the more you say, the more you want to say. But what I'm really trying to say is that we have to move on from that. It's a different time. Like I was mentioning at my school, what I see, it's certain amount of it is people just maybe trying to be nice or trying to do the right thing under the circumstances, but they're not that way when they go home. There's a lot of what we might call hypocrisy on the part of people. But there's also a lot of genuineness. And you can see the hand of God moving people out of race conscious and color conscious and putting us in a human consciousness, which, by the way, is a solution. So, you know, we've said this and we have to use it to put things in perspective. You know, we say that God does things in mysterious ways. Is it? But that's because we don't know how to bring it about. And when he brings it about, we say, oh, I thought it would have been better. We have a plan. God has a plan, or God has already planned, and he is the best planner. That is a mouthful. That eliminates all the headache and the heartache that we go through trying to wonder when is this going to end, or when is this going to happen, when is that going to happen, why did it have to happen, and all the stuff that we can send ourselves through. When once you turn it over to God, he'll show you clearly what's happening, why it happened, and what he's doing now that it has happened. And the role that we play in the whole process. See, you got to be available to hear what role you play. You've already seen the role that you played on the, let's say, the backside. But now what happens on the front side? What happens when he hears our prayers and he begins to move us in a way to where you see scripture says the last shall be first and the first shall be last? That's a state of circumstances that is going to prevail in this situation that we're dealing with. And if you're not over your anger, if you're not been suppressed to the point to where you're like boxing and fighting, and you know, because you're still under the influence of the pain and the hurt that was brought about by this thing called slavery, USA style. So once we get clear-headed and level-headed and see what Allah has allowed has been not detrimental. It's been instrumental in making a people have to develop themselves in a way that they wouldn't have had to develop themselves if it hadn't happened to them. So thus what you see, if you look at it and pull back your lens and use scripture to look through at it, you'll see the producing of a new people that was over with, that they missed genocides. We didn't die off. We really got better, you know, better at surviving, but also better at morphing ourselves into what was needed for the occasion. Developing the language. We're going to talk a little bit later on, a little bit about music and the role that it played. But when you look at the miraculous way, with God's help, that it happened, and then what's happening now that it has happened. It takes getting past hurt, pain, emotion, and all that, and just really effective and with enlightenment, you look at it and see what you maybe couldn't see before. Blinded by the pain, blinded by the emotion, blinded by questions that you couldn't answer. Why me? What did I do to deserve this? You know, on and on and on and on. And it seemed like there was a never-ending way that when we made a little inch of progress, 5 steps forward, then they would set us back 10 steps, even if it meant killing a leader to do it. But let me just kind of move out of this a little bit, but let me just shed a little bit of light on the instigator. Soul of Bill of Goods by a very diabolical force that suggested to him that he would be able to reign supreme over a great deal of the world, the known world and beyond, if he would simply put this package together and produce himself a story that makes it the rest of the world, the known world, believe he's superior, and that this religion called Christianity, which provides salvation through the Son of God, which looks exactly like a Caucasian person in the form of Jesus Christ, tells him you shouldn't have any graven images. You know, so how far can a scheme or a plot, without counting, it's been a long, but he ain't even getting away. And the more he forces himself and us to live the lie, the worse it gets. To the point now, you know, you have almost every institution having been visited with some form of corruption, because you do a diabolical thing, you promote it like it's okay and it's been sanctioned by God. You present yourself as a superior person, and all of it's a lie. And then when just a little bit of truth comes, and like I mentioned a couple of weeks ago or last week, that something in the form of, okay, you said that about us, now we're going to say something about you that's equally as bad and wrong, but it just shows you two can play the game. And the same God that allowed the first one to happen allowed the second one to happen as a plan to get both parties at the table and say, it didn't work for you, and it's not going to work for you, but what will work is coexistence. Anybody have enough conscience and courage to do that? Put the past behind us to the degree that we don't kiss and hug and do all that and sing kumbaya, but we do begin to act unimpeded. See, just let us be us, do us, unimpeded. No mewing 40 acres, no certain part of the planet, none of that necessarily. Just natural growth like everybody else. The Mormons are in Utah. The Amish are in certain places in the back east. You know, we seem to mingle here and there and whatnot, establish places of worship and whatnot in certain parts of the town. I mean, it's the United States now, you know, name a few, Houston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, et cetera. So let it be. See, that's all that's really needed. Once you come together as a community and you have access to enlightenment and educational institutions to address and promote you where you are and show you how to be your best self, it's game's over. You just join the table and get recognized like everybody else, and you can compete. You see? Because of another word, it almost says the same. You can compete because you are complete, restored, after the diabolical devastation that you endured. Did it take time? Yes. Does it take some more time? Yes. Some generational stuff has to be done. But enough for us to see the miracle and the reversal that those who cause suffering are now suffering. Not that you need to necessarily have that, but it gives you evidence that people don't do things of the magnitude that was done without consequences. And though some of our loved ones and past ancestors aren't here to see it, somewhere, I believe this, and I think it's believable, they're rejoicing in their souls that, you know, our prayers were answered. Our job now is to continue the progress to show the miracle that happens when a people are devastated to that extent, but yet still they thrive. And then they begin to turn their lives around in a way that the slave master needs to look at to turn his life around. People call it karma, you know, whatever. No, that's divine intervention working in the way that only divine intervention can work, where both parties get freedom. I mean, they get justice. They get treated fairly. And they can do all of this without one ounce of blood being shed not a bloody warfare. I mean, we were headed down the Civil War and, you know, great, great losses of lives and on and on and on and on. Now, I'm not saying people haven't gotten killed and riots and these shootings here lately and whatnot. But I'm saying, you look, like I said before, I go back to that school where we're in positions of authority. We're in positions to get that education that we weren't allowed to get. And we're into living in one of the greatest countries in the world and has been called this because it is this, the land of opportunity. I mean, what more could you ask for than an opportunity to prove your worth and to benefit like everybody else is benefiting from this country of wealth, one of the wealthiest countries in the world to this day. People can live out the trash can and on and on and on. You find your position, your particular situation that you know is just not in the world like it is here. And so what happens when you got a people who are there right in the middle of it? Everybody going to be a basketball player, football player, or whatever? No, it's not necessary, nor is it feasible. You know? But when it's laid out, and see, there's two things that are working now, and it's speeded up the process for a lot of people, and we should be included in that. This is a technological age and an information age. I'm pausing because that shit make you stop and think. What we're doing here right now with this technological instruments, we're able to access worldwide. You know, I had 3 hours to talk to or develop an audience to talk to about remaking their world and then remaking the world. And except for a few little hitches and glitches and stuff, it pretty much can do that. You know, ProIntelco is still alive and well someplace doing something, you know what I'm saying, but not near, you know, can they come and be disruptive. You know, you look at Imam Wafuddin Muhammad, look at Master Elijah Muhammad, you know, may peace be upon both of them and grant them the paradise, forgive them their sins. Couldn't stop it. We stopped it on our own. And skirt, put it in reverse, backed up and rethought things. Got things more Islamic. I won't say orthodox because that's not the word. Let's say halal. Let's say in accord with the Sunnah, you know, in accord with what the Quran has to say and say what you have to do when you've encountered that because of people previously who had people sent to them or Moses was sent to right the wrong that was given to Bani Israel or the Hebrews, you know, we qualify for the same thing. And you do what you should do. You say, okay, that's what happened to them, but look at them now. They can't take all the credit. They can't say, well, we still got this and we got this in place and therefore this is happening. This is what. No. You do what you were given to do, and then the results come. But also the consequences come when you promote a lie or promote that your situation is great because you are chosen or you are God's, you know, closer to God than anybody else or whatever. Anything that borderlines on competing with what's publicly said when you declare that you want to be Muslims. It doesn't really talk about the religion in per se. It talks about the God of that religion and tells you from Jump Street, you know, there's no shirk here. There's no associating gods with God. Once you get that straight, everything else is accessible in a way to help you with your life and be in your life and for your life for the rest of your life. But get that straight, the oneness of God, and God is one, and God operates in a universal way, in a way that Tawheed just explores and explains to where you just can see it. Ever-changing, ever-growing, ever-evolving capability that you cannot be deterred. You know, he's messing up the economy. He's got global warming. He's got the beat goes on. If the planet gets to the point to where it's no longer can function here or we can no longer manage our affairs with, not just a few planets, not just galaxies upon galaxies or somewhere out there in the galaxy waiting for us to pick up and leave if we decide. We definitely are developing the vehicles to go out there and check it out and see if there may be a need to leave here and go somewhere else. And what are we going to need to do that? How are we going to need to live and coexist? That's what's coming. But if your head is down and your spirit is killed and you feel tore up from the flow up, it ain't coming to you. And there's no sense of hanging around somebody who's in that condition until they have a willingness to do what it takes to get on higher ground and get educated and enlightened and get in a position to undo what was done. And then why wait on the miracle? You know, because once you undo it where it needs to be done, the reverse engineering that needs to be done, then the miraculous things that we're doing, we're just a little bit of it. See? Once it gets full-fledged and gets in the hands and the minds and the hearts of a large amount of people, we can get on the same page. And don't just measure it material wealth, where we can undo what was done to us And then after having been excluded, we can now practice inclusion. I mean, sincerely, I ain't talking about, you know, get brownie points and, you know, like I said before, everybody's forgiving and forgetting and singing Kumbaya. No, 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 no. Truly having established a human consciousness, and just like they're ready to go to war to ensure that that type of system or government is in place, everybody gets equal opportunity. Everybody gets freedom, justice, and equality. The bigness of being able to do that after having been done to us, what was done to us, has the ability to empower the people who do it and the people who are watching it get done. That just thinking about it is powerful, let alone to actually implement it. That we do for you what you couldn't do for us, and you trying to put us in a position like forever. Like you're never going to be able to turn this thing around. You always are going to be a domesticated Negro in some form or fashion. I'm going to be the pimp and you're going to be the hoe. That's the way it's going to go down to in perpetuity. But we can talk about it like, nah. Mm-mm. And I ain't mad. I'm not mad. I'm not. I'm saying I'm ready to receive God's blessing and be a recipient of God's prayers, our prayers being sent and God answering those prayers. And if it don't consist of no payback, ain't no problem. If it don't consist of somebody suffering like I suffered, no problem. Because when you really pull back, and you get a little healed, and you let go of a little bit of the hurt, and you stretch yourself, and you decide for yourself that you're going to do things different. You're going to make some changes in your life, and you're going to strive to be your best self, and you're going to encourage other people, and you're going to lead by example. That is a phenomenon that you can't stop. Nothing that you have done or are doing will be able to stop that. And like we said about music, that's what ain't no stopping us now. See, Imam Muhammad changed. He said, you can't stop us now. Who can stop us? Only us can stop us. There's no need to brag about it, but that's the truth. That's the way that it is. You got this thing called Slavery USA style happened to you. No one knows, can mimic. Well, how did y'all? No, it doesn't work like that. You have to have went through it. You can't explain it. You can't do whatever. You have to observe it and see what it's producing. We're in a class, and the teacher mentioned something that I swear by it. I've lived with it, and I see it happening. And when we get let me say the right words, because I don't want to. When we get in touch with our soul and we want to express ourselves, whether it be through music or just oratorio, you know, where we're delivering. Well, Martin Luther King, I mean, that's just, became deep from his soul, but also able to use the verbiage of the country and the people who did the deed. So not only can he tell them that the deed happened and that it shouldn't happen, what you need to do now that it has happened and what we're going to be doing in the meantime. And I predict, my vision tells me that one day this is going to happen. I may not be here to see it. I ain't got a problem with that. See, what I'm going to do is live it like it's going to happen. And if I don't live to see it happen, and I die early, I'd rather die early promoting that it's going to happen than to live long and not say a word about it. That is a power, and it's empowering to be able to say that that's how I live. And in fact, I'm going to tell you, if you can't live like that, you might not be living. You might just be here, getting older, waiting to die. See, that's perspective. That doesn't get turned around. People or a person turned on. See, and I ain't talking about hot and bothered turned on. I'm talking about commitment to move the movement a little further down the road and make sure that it's established and it has enough fuel to take us to the next step or the next level. Because see, once real progress is ever made and you really see it working, can virtue better than that. And you saw a common man, an uneducated man, a man that was, well, I don't know, I can say, damaged by the society, come into exposure to another man, and they then conspire, or they jointly agree to use certain language and whatnot to help this individual to come out of the situation that he's in, or that we were in, and we now flip the script and we're in control, and we're going to make sure that they suffer and get some similar consequences to us. And that took place in this, I don't know, situation where you know, you had to take your cap off and stay in your place and all that, and you come out openly and boldly and set up places of worship and places to eat and, you know, a military force, you know, just on and on. And then you disband all that and come back with the son, and he teaches for 23 years or so and turns it around. And the son gets introduced in a way where we can definitely see he's the man born for the mission. Now, do we always support it like we should? No. But it doesn't change his position in the world, and it doesn't change the powerful impact that he brought about with one of the biggest conversions in this country. Once again, without shedding any blood. And they did some people get killed along the way, yes. But I'm talking about bloodshed. We pulled arms, we had guns, we did that kind of, went to war kind of. No. That picture of his hands at his temples to the source of salvation. Remake this. Get this going right, in addition to your soul and your heart, and it's over, you know? And like I said before, certain people, I know I'm a recipient of that type of belief system. And I'm going to use my last breath trying to say something about it or move it forward, because that's the orders of the day. If you really realize what's been done, then it's really, you know, when you say for those who are given much, nothing much is required. I mean, that's just not even, that doesn't even come close to the magnitude of what you are in debt to now. Turn your whole situation around and made it to your advantage and put the ones who were downtrodden you and, you know, demasculating you in a very precarious situation. almost to the point of having to apologize. You did what? You know? But now that you did what you did, and they're doing what they're doing, you needed to step back and let them quit and do it. Leave it alone. Don't interfere. Because now we don't put the rest, a lot of the devilish talk, but to interfere for with a man who's trying to regain his dignity and regain his free will back to be like everybody else, and you got a problem with that because what? You know, this is the land of opportunity. You say it on your Statue of Liberty. You promote it here and promote it there, and people have come over here and got educated and, you know, went back to their country and turned it around and everything, and you get credit for that. But you can't get past the freedom of someone in another race that you demasculated. You can't get past letting them now have a triumph and rejoice and have their without your involvement, you know. Their celebration. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't include necessarily you, you know, as much as you included on the negative end a little bit, but not as much on the positive end. Because it's diabolical. All that can be said about that, I mean, it's really nothing pleasant. It's really nothing redeeming that can be said. No justification. There's no justification for that. No matter how much people agreed and consorted to it, and you had slave traders and you had slave traders, people who were actually doing the business of the slave trading, and then you had people who were actually doing the business of getting rid of people who looked just like him and were maybe related to him and putting them on a boat going to who knows what, and if they would safely make it to their destination. And had no problem with it. Got all kind of accommodations in place to be able to make it happen. From the transaction of the money to the development of a language so that the slave trader could talk to the slave trader. This is all the history that has to come out and the facts that have to be laid on the board. So, like I said before with that word, and I can't say it enough, with perspective. And when you get the lens that Allah will give you to look at this thing, then you can deal with it. See, it's almost like it makes us sober, or it keeps us sober, because you can have too much of an affinity with your race. You saw it in Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to help save the Quraysh people, but he wouldn't succumb to their request. Okay, we'll do this if you do this. No, I have to do what God says do, which is support this from a humane perspective, not from a tribal perspective. This message is bigger than that. And then once you embrace it and become bigger than the little question, it's not about you. And you're keeping your position in place as we move forward. With the blood thicker than water type of mentality. Mm-hmm. Blood is blood is blood is blood is blood. You see? That's the thing you need to know about blood. Not the symbolic meaning that they've given it. The humane meaning that it has to unite people along bloodlines, because we bleed the same blood. It plays the same role, you know. It's a social tie that when one person can benefit humanity, they're obligated to benefit humanity and not go into, well, we'll give them this, but we won't give them that. We're going to keep that for ourselves. No. It was given to you so that you could give it to others. That's the real challenge coming forward for us as a people. You were given this golden opportunity, So when he told him, never will Allah change the condition of people, and they change themselves. You got to change yourself to get the real full benefit of what's been happening here. Otherwise, you'll be bitter. Can't get your blessing if you're bitter. Bitter people don't act the same as people who are blessed. You're blessed and then negates all that bitterness and anger and angst that you have. It don't go away. It heals and you evolve. Mr. Aki's family, I have what you need. Most beneficent, merciful benefactor and merciful redeemer. That's there. That's what it's telling you right there. I got the package deal for you. Step up and get the 1-2 punch, and then go on with your life and let that be a part of history. A historical moment when that went down. Started out so ugly, you couldn't even believe it was going to ever change. Not only did it change, it produced out of it a civil rights movement that became a human rights movement. The whole world had a model now to look at. If anything ever goes down, even close to what we're talking about, South Africa, Desmond Tutu, and Nelson Mandela. See? And you look at the other little disruptions in Africa that took place after that. But one race of people were determined to destroy another race of people, and they look exactly like those people. So, you know, you had a genocidal type effort that was going on. I think it was ethnic cleansing, yeah. New word coming into the vocabulary. Ethnic cleansing. Sounds like somebody thought that they had the right and gave themselves permission to get rid of another race that they're almost related to, just got a different tribal name. Other than that, it's just, you couldn't tell the difference. We're going to cleanse out this spot here, just like they never was there, because something's wrong. Something's not functioning in us to be able to even declare to have that kind of aspirations and moving on it with haste and as if it's going to be possible, and no one's going to object to it because they, what? They can agree with you. They deny, you know, this whole thing. So it's there. It's there, you see. So what are we talking about here? We're taking the subject matter that is most personal, that is also presently going on, and we're laying out what can be a roadmap for the future. If those people who had this done to them, and I'm one of them, will take even just a little bit of what we're sharing or trying to share and see a world of difference in your life. And that's why we started out with this thing called life, this four-letter word. That a lot of people think is going this way or that way because of another four-letter word, luck. Once you get out of thinking that there's this thing called luck and get scientific in your approach, it's a game changer. There are going to still be phenomena that happen that we can't explain, but it ain't luck. That's one thing we will be able to tell them. We're not able to tell people what it is, but we can tell them what it ain't. It ain't no phenomenon called luck, you know, that's going on that allows you to build a bridge or cross a bridge or install a bridge for much-needed situations that need you to bridge the gap to cause the thing to happen. That wasn't going to happen until somebody made the initiative to say, hey, we can do this together. And you had resolution and resolve with Desmond Tutu and Desmond Mandela with the effort to 21, truth and reconciliation. That came on the heels of slavery USA style, civil rights, human rights. Started out in one way and started to grow and grow and grow to the magnitude. Nah, it's not just happening over there. Wherever it happened, we need a way to stamp it out. Okay, we're going to evolve this thing from civil rights to human rights. Anybody who's guilty of doing anything that that looks similar to this, the world should get involved. It should not go on and on and on. And somebody finally decides to come and to the aid and bring it to the attention to the United Nations or whoever. That's what happens when you are big picture. You got a big picture that you keep before you. Though nothing like that will happen again. Get documented and state what happened and make it a part of your preamble. Not just for your country, but a position that if we find ourselves in that position again, this is what we do. Once again, what do we see? We see an opportunity of the lifetime to be the model that brings about that model. Right here. Okay. One of the historical moments that was made when we finally got a black president, or African-American president, an African-American president to the rest of the world, not just my election is history, but we're finna make some more history by laying aside our attitudes and thoughts about one another and recover from this economic devastation that's happening. The only we can do if we do it together and quit blue state, red state, and quit bipartisan politics. Not only did he say it, it was the way he said it. He said it like he believed it. He believed in this country enough to believe that it would follow significant leader in the country, which was the president. Now, history going to go all back and forth and date back, zoop, by zoop, zoop. But look at the miracle that came about. You won't be able to see it if you don't get to the heart of the matter. It's an individual whose name, last name is Obama. You see? But Barack Hussein Obama, full name, went by Barry for a while. Red Malcolm X decided to come out the closet, what you want to call it, did that. But what was happening here? Barack Hussein Obama, Muslim name. Not a Muslim. What's the other thing that you can show your divine invention? African-American. One of the few African-Americans that is African-American. His father was an African. And he was born in America. He's an African-American. They claim to that. Father marries Caucasian woman. African-American heritage united with Caucasian heritage. Everybody gets a part and participates in it. Some people think it's a minus and say, "Whoa, whoa, a white mother, whoa." But it wasn't an accident that the first African-American president would have all those things lined up. He ain't black enough, woo, 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 woo. Couldn't even have a wife like Michelle if he didn't have something going for himself along that line. If he didn't, she didn't say anything, her father was going to say something. Passed the test. And they're still rocking steady. Produced two children. Blah, blah, blah. And now that people have gotten over the fact that he didn't do this for black people, he didn't do that, he didn't go on. He got elected for two terms. He made history. you were still alive and born when it made history, so you're in the history book whether you want to be in it or not. Whether you're satisfied or not satisfied with what he did or what he didn't do. A big part of it didn't have anything to do with when he did show up and got ready to be elected, did you vote for him? They voted for their man. They trying to get him back in there again. The Donald. They said the world going to be a better world if he comes and takes his rightful place back at the thing again. And they're getting some traction on it, which shows you the condition of the state of mind of the country. But also it shows you how miraculous it was right before that, who the right last president was, and then who got elected after that. All right? People were trying to make history rather than provide leadership. He did have a so-called theme he was promoting. His competition didn't. Her only theme was, are you going to vote for me and help me make history? And she did. She made history by thinking she had won before the election was over, and he pulled an end run on her and won. So what happens when that happens? It should make everybody who just saw the progress that they thought was made, that he was systematically going to try to tear it down. Who fights the best fight when that happens? We do. We come out of our cupboards, our cliques, our whatever, and we put up the dukes when there's a crisis that affects the whole. You want to see us fight, get out in numbers and do whatever and raise our fists and do whatever and add resistance and do come up with theme songs, have a crisis big enough to challenge all of us. And we'll burn, baby, burn. It's a proven. It's going to be recorded in the history books. It took some mothership teaching to get us away from Christianity long enough to look at something else other than that. That was and still is a big part of our makeup. I won't say it's our downfall because it's not inherent in all of us. A few of us that don't go out like that. You don't have to attack Christianity and call it the ice house and all that kind of stuff, but you do have to recognize when there's a legitimate alternative on the set and it produces all the things that you're trying to produce with a gun or with a clenched fist or advocating he's the devil and going to hell and, you know, when the chickens come to roost, that's why he's catching so much hell, and when the mothership show up, we're going to be on top of the world and all that. No, it's not the way it's going to work. It's not the way it has worked. If you look at all the people who came in our lineage from Frederick Douglass on, the real success and the real future is what was brought by Imam Wahfuddin Muhammad. Because what happens with it, it doesn't need for you to be a Muslim to benefit from it. It tells you and it tells us you get the benefit whether you're a Muslim or not. The only qualifying factor is that you want to be a part of this thing called humanity, the human race, and if you will help us get things humane and get people access to that and they can then be their best self, we can live together. That's what it does everywhere it goes. And people stay sober. Stay sober. You can't be drunk on your domineering the world and bringing a Dubai into existence because you want to compete with the material world. The material world don't need no competition. Just mention the technology and the information that's available now. It's just like unbelievable. So that's not what we need. But when you look at humanity, fallen humanity, and you look at what scripture says, what gaineth the man to win the world and lose his soul? That's it. the Bible comes and in a simple statement asks you to ask yourself to see if it's not about the material. It's a part. The material is a part, but it's not the whole tomato, what did I say, enchilada. It's not that. When it becomes the whole enchilada and you worship it and you lust after it and you get greedy about it, it wreaks irreversible consequences. Can't get a decent anything because the standards are so low because people are trying to make the money that they used to make. And they go all the way to another country and have something to produce so they can get their profit back into it. They make it for $3 and they sell it for $300. Just off the chain thinking, and every decision that they make is made because of money. McDonald's and what's the other big, Disneyland and a lot of other places. They call what they call draconian cuts. Oh, Bed Bath & Beyond. It's just all around. If you just look around, you see people closing or selling or I've been around for 50 years and now they're finna close down. And that's what happens. The big, what do you call it? Like a fire sale. We had our 15 minutes in the sun, and now we're going to let somebody else, what we're going to go out on as much money as we can. And so how does that work for people? Is that fair and honest? And that's not. Sometimes you go to those fire sales and you find out that the price is higher than it was before the fire sale. Because what? The old greedy bug has bitten people. It's a terrible thing. It's just like cancer. It just grows and begins to eat away at your body, and you just look terrible. You look terrible because you're capable of terrible things because you don't have we don't have our soul in place to keep us in check. You don't have your heart. You know, some people say, man, you got to have a heart, right? You got to have a courage not to do certain things. You got to have the courage not to accept to sell your soul to the devil to get a few measly dollars, a permanent position, a future that's going to have to be filled with you looking wealthy and healthy and you're on top of the world. You don't want that. Once again, I go back, I say it again. We're going for a man to win the world and to lose his soul. It asks you to ask that question just like it does when it talks about your relationship with the devil. Yield not to temptation because yielding is the sin. Let him be guilty of sinning all he wants. Let him get all kind of indecent proposals. Let him believe anything he wants to believe about the state of affairs. For your thirst and your hunger and your appetite. See? To the point that he says, just do it. Obey your thirst. He tells you what to do. Brighten off for anything you want. Get you a bucket list and fill it out and make sure you do what's on your bucket list. Don't matter if some of it's not lawful. When you go out, you want to go out with a bang. Who said that? It wasn't Scripture, dignity, having left a contribution, legacy that can perpetuate itself in your absence, that your generations after you can see what benefit this is and they can pick it up and run with it some more and advance it on out into the future and bring about Mali, Timbuktu type things. For the world is benefit in this renaissance called El-Islam that started over here, this location geographically, and it spread. And it had no problem spreading because it was birthed to bring upliftment and enlightenment in heaven-like situations Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heavenly lack situations here on earth. That's the role the scripture's supposed to play. That's the prayer that God says you should make. The light right, and it enhances the judgment, enhances the perspective, and it makes sure that you have balance there to keep it checked. Not a checkbook and checks. No. An ability to have control of the situation and the situation not be controlling you. One of the biggest waste of time is to get angry or want to get even. Waste of time. Precious time. After you do it, if you have any kind of inkling of humanity in you, you're going to have regrets. I let anger rule my better judgment, and all I came up with was a violation that's in scripture. The two wrongs don't make a right. So what did I do? Threw all that out the wall, out the window, and got into revenge and payback mode. And jeopardized my situation because of the overarching thing that tells you we're not issuing get out of jail's card. Oh well, you know, we're right. You were angry. You had a right because you was mad. I mean, that's terrible. Somebody do that. You know, that's no justification, man. That's right. Payback is what's in order. Now, what makes that not in being order? What makes that foolish? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Allah's will trumps everything else. The question becomes, will you obey or will you not obey? If you will, when those thoughts come, you will do a rational examination of them, and you come to the conclusion justice is not going to be served. So what do? Cuddle that idea. You sober up and you come up with something that's really a resolution, a solution to the problem. And you get the full benefit because you're now beginning to get the habit and the consciousness to solve problems, which does what? It adds value to any situation, because now instead of us getting revenge and payback and having all this vengeance in our mind and building Smith and Wessons and everything, we have a formula that when problems of any magnitude or of a certain magnitude or global magnitude can be solved. All you have to have is a will that says if we work together, COVID-19, we can resolve this issue that seems to be pandemic in the planet, all on the planet. And it's so deadly because you can't see it. But it does leave, it stench, you feel it, because it gets right into your lungs and it just fills them up with fluid, and next thing you know, you're no longer with us. But what did it do, really? It exposed a lot of people, and it also forced people to work together and stay in a quarantine together. Caused a lot of divorces, and it caused a lot of people to realize I don't want to be here with you like this, and I can't leave. I got it, you got it, and me, the kids, all three of us got it. We got to rough it out, tough it out. Ain't got no vacuum, ain't got no vaccination in, and the one they got it keeps morphing itself, and he's got to get another one. And so disruptive force for who? For people who were living like that, and then they had to live another way. And guess what? The world will never be the same. COVID made the history book. If you survived COVID and you had a rebirthing as a result of COVID, you made the history book too. We made the history book. I'll never forget what we did. We were sitting there on the cruise ship, and we deduct it with very little time to deduct it, that the perspective going forward is to have great respect for COVID. Be careful, but not fearful. God ain't doing all this to scare you. I want to get your attention, but a scared man cannot act because he's too scared. People start making requests of putting on masks, 6 feet, washing your hands, be conscious of sneezing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And also shut down places where you're going to consume in more than one people. You're going to exchange words so people shut down the masjid. No, he's forcing the masjid and the people who are at the masjid to exercise their intelligence. God didn't let man come up with no COVID to shut down the masjid. No, when that happens and it shuts down the masjid, look around and see what Allah is trying to show everybody. It definitely isn't to get upset about the masjid not being closed. Boom, zoom came about. There's a boom on Zoom. There's a boom of Zoom. Technology, yeah? Rules, information, rules. Just go back in your mind for a minute. Think about this thing and decide whether you want to. Just think about it. How Allah evolves us. You know, people thought back in the day when the hippies, the age of Aquarium. Before that, there was the age of agriculture. Big farming still around. Big families because they had farming going on, you know. They needed families to raise the crops and do this and that and the other. But it evolved. Almanac ruled and Groundhog's Day and all that stuff, you know. And now, you know, we sow, you know, cultivate, but you begin to see it getting corrupted. Government got involved. Government regulations. Pay people not to produce crops. What? You gonna? Yeah, I need to get the economy stabilized. So we're going to deflate the inflation, and we're going to have less product out there. And getting what? What are you doing? Messing with the economy and changing the lights and the time and what? Don't you know it's going to work against you? Now they're thinking about, well, maybe we shouldn't do that every year. Maybe we shouldn't do that at all. Duh. Why is it coming now? Because the light's on. Stupidity is being run out of the room. People are at least acting like they got some sense when it comes to these affairs. And they're telling people who are listening, when you make your decisions, don't let money be such a big part in it. Let it play such a big role. Don't fire people or don't hire people and say, I'm going to give you, instead of $450, I'm going to give you $1,450. But whatever I ask you to do, however I want you to loan you to work, whatever I tell you you got to do, whatever hours you got to put in, you can't say no. What? You pay me what you should have paid me now that you're paying me that you think you own me as a slave. Where's that thinking coming from? I got you right where I want you. Yeah, I'm going to pay you what you've been asking for. You've been asking for that $14, $13, $15. I'm going to pay you that. But I need for you to be an even bigger wage slave. So what are we seeing? Same thing we started seeing when we started. Now you begin to see, hopefully you begin to see, that this thing called life you are exposed to the world of man and what he dictates and the spirit that he has you in, us in. And he has us relating to thirst and hunger. Those are appetites. We just talked about them. Obey your thirst. Just do it. You know, if it feels good, do it. It may not be moral, but it's legal. 314, got you. Coming to you. So how is all this coming about? It's coming about with our cooperation. We bit into it hook, line, and sinker. They put the little commercials, some of them so funny and stupid, they don't even know what that is. Their lack of appreciation for your intelligence. They put something on there at the level of 10th grade, 9th grade, and got nothing to do with the cars or the insurance or whatever. You'd be laughing, man, that's so stupid. But if you remember the stupidity that it went when it was supposed to promote the poop. But it should have been offensive because why are you giving me stupid commercials to help me make a sensible decision about my car, my insurance, my medicine? Why are you... Don't think I, you know, will respond well to that. A sensible commercial rather than ones that you get. And the little innuendo that you get when it comes with it. Because they tell you they want you to be stupid. They want you to love this stuff to the point of where you ignore the fact that it's got me having health problems and challenges because I just love it, but it doesn't love me. It's good to me, but it's not good for me. But who's in control of that? So we want to think about what we talked about, this thing called life. It's not a headache. It's not a heartache. And it's not something that just comes about because of happenstance. You're not going to be happy because of happenstance. You're going to be happy when you realize you're not supposed to be happy all the time. When we do what we're supposed to do, happiness will follow. Joy and the ability to rejoice rather than regret will be the case. Okay, so we're coming to 314. I think it's a familiar number, but anyway, state your name and where you're calling from, whether you have a question or comment.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you,
Imam
Pasha, to your radio listeners, Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. We'll say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. You know, on Monday, you know what I'm doing in class here. But just catching little snippets, although I am recording, you know, our Islam-based conversation as we speak. When I heard you say, you know, it kind of took me back to, I think, a legendary sports figure, if you will, in terms of standing up for his humanity and not seeing himself as just as a product or as a slave to be traded, to just be traded. And he had no say-so as to where he goes. And personally, I think this person, if the Hall of Fame stayed true to the Hall of Fame, the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame, then Kirk Flood should be in the Hall of Fame because he revolutionized baseball for taking a stance, although it cost him. But many have benefited from that now in terms of being free agents. As opposed to like going in the Masters saying, well, you didn't do so well this year, boy. I'm cutting you down or what, or just give you whatever it was they wanted, and you had to accept it. I mean, either you did or you didn't, you will or you won't in that regard. But there was no negotiation. It was right. Like the owner telling the player that I own you and I'll tell you what it is that you get and what it is that you can't get. But free agency revolutionized that first and foremost in Major League Baseball, but it also had a ripple effect, if you will, in other major sports. I just wanted to say that I don't know if that really fits in to all of this that you were saying in terms of having the freedom and the dignity as a human being to be able to make a choice to be a free agent. And we look at life, you know, we can see the same scenario here. You've been given a limited free will, and you're a free agent. And you mm-hmm. also are the manager of your soul as to yep. what you will do with it. So I'll stop there, and I have to get back in class. I just enjoyed that a little bit of that. Heard. Thank you so much, Imam Pasha. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, Muslim, thank you. Carrying on with that little story there, I mean, it was a very much historical act, and he did suffer great consequences. But he did open the way, and it had to be a pioneer, and always a pioneer. And the other thing that Brother Mark can mention and should mention is that you could also, but you do have them. When you didn't go along with what Master had to say, you got blackballed. You never work in this town again. And I think he went overseas a long different place, but he never got back to the status that he had formerly when he took his position. And I thought maybe you were going to talk about Muhammad Ali because he was the same way. He was able to give up 3 or 4 years of his life, prime time life, and say, hey, I'm not. And went on a campaign to advocate why he wasn't, and he was did justice to conscientious objective. So it's there for the waiting, and it's all connected. It's all related because there's only one life. And the way we see it is through the lens of what man is trying to get us to see. But if you have to step outside and step back, watch the sunset or sunrise, watch the wind blow the trees without seeing the wind, watch the rain cause the stuff to grow without, you know, having the control over the ground. It's just so many things that lets you know that this could be a little piece of heaven on earth, but it also could be hell, a living hell, if we're not careful, if we're not aware of what's going on, what decisions are being made behind closed doors that are made by people who are not in touch with their humanity. They're not conscious enough to say, how can I do this to somebody who looks like my mother or my sister or my brother, or could be my mother, my sister, or my brother? How could I feel this way about women? Did I have to be embarrassed into making the salaries competent? Did I have to be told it's offensive for me to tell little jokes and make inferences to them in the workplace? They have rights too. They shouldn't be. They're not there for us to turn into a bunch of body parts and make whispers at night. Oh, I think she might be on her period. That's not gonna fly anymore because that's a stereotypical image that you want to paint of people, you know. I'm this way and I'm that way, and my your judgments are going to be made because you know, men or women shouldn't be afforded, or certain races shouldn't be afforded the same opportunities as everybody else. And movements that started, I'm not agreeing with them or not disagreeing with them, but the Women's Lib, the Me Too, all that is a result of ongoing sexism. You can turn yourself into a man or turn yourself into a woman and not have come under question as to, did that really solve the problem? That question is going to get asked. And so many, many, many more are going to get asked too. When you show up at the PTA and you and your family got to get asked, okay, well, Johnny's got a mother and a father. Why don't you have one, Susan? You got two mothers. You know, and you got to explain that to Susan before she goes to school, and you got to explain to them if it happens at school. You see? So it's so many things that we have to stop and look at. Are we doing the thing that's going to solve the problem? Or are we creating another problem? Because two wrongs don't make a right. So what does that mean? That means that God's prevails, his will prevails irregardless of whether we get emotional or we get hurt or we think we're doing the right thing, because we say, well, if they're doing that and getting away with it, then we should just turn around and do this and we'll get away with it. But the only way to beat that game, the only way to beat that game, I'm going to say it one more time, the only way to beat that game is to not play it. You're never going to get good enough at beating them at their own game. But you will get good enough of saying, you know what? If this is what it means, if this is what it takes, I'm not going to do that. I'd rather die on my knees than to keep on living. I mean, I'd rather die, you know, trying to stand up for stuff than to die on my knees, you know, and act like I was going along with it. See, that's what dignity is. It's the ultimate sacrifice if needed. And when you have it, you don't have to make the ultimate sacrifice. Because it tells us what? The ink of a scholar is greater than the blood of a martyr. See? It corrects you when you need the correction. It gives us the courage when you need the courage. And it tells us what to do under circumstances that are like, what do they call it? A case of the sixes. What is it? What is it? That's not an easy answer. The lesser of the two evils. That becomes a challenge for people. The lesser of the two evils. And there are situations that come up like that. I'll let you think of the two rather than introducing two. But it happens. And it happens for a reason. And it's still around to where you have to make that decision, because Allah is showing you some things are black and white, but other things are gray. And that goes back to what our original theme was. That's the way it is in life. It's not always cut and dry, black and white. You can't always use your logic to get to the resolution. Some things are intuitive, intuition. Some things our gut just tells us. And some things, if we're not careful, we're not being reasonable and we're not reasoning when we come up with a decision. You have to ask yourself, what if? And then you have to answer that. You have to ask yourself certain questions. Is there more harm or benefit? And that's the criteria, that the benefit has to outweigh the harm. And sometimes there's consequences that are harmful that just put shame to the benefits. So what does that say? We shouldn't even entertain that. But then we go into it's payback as a mother and all that stuff. Collateral damage and all that kind of thinking. We just try to keep it to a minimum. Somebody that maybe shouldn't die, I don't need to die, I wasn't even involved in it, but it's just collateral damage. Or the fact that, you know, in our religion, it tells you, no, don't destroy the plants and the animals and everything. They didn't do anything. You know, don't go to war and don't let that be in your consciousness. We just destroy it so they can never use it again. We rape all the women and turn down all the buildings. No, that's not war. That's revenge. See? We made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made arrangements for people who were in captivity. If you'll do this, we'll do that. It proves to us that you're not living in the past, that you're not going to be a threat. You're not going to try to get in here and pull a coup d'etat. No, that's not going to happen. See, so if you can get to that point, and you can, the religion properly implemented and institutionalized will help you do that. You move from away from just the ritual, a service and superficial, It's a start. It's a begin. It gets you with the basic. It's the foundation. But you're going to eventually want the consciousness, because the consciousness means the knowledge is going to be there, the wisdom is going to be there, and the application is going to be there. Because the knowledge raising your consciousness is enlightening and it elevates. See, you can rise above the situation that you find yourself in. You cannot get caught. You can keep from getting caught up in the blood sticking in water. I'm on your side. I'm aiding you. I'm helping you because you are a black man, person like me. No, it don't go like that. For all. You see? Wasn't that what Moses was confronted with? Same person confronting him and say, you helped me yesterday, you gonna help me again? No. You are provoking this type of attention. And I'm succumbing to joining you in this effort because of sheer racism. Or equal, thinking that, they're attacking you, so they're attacking me. You know, what is that scenario? You say, he's not heavy, he's my brother. He is heavy if he's not acting in a brotherly way toward his fellow human beings. He wants preferential treatment. He wants to be getting the get out of jail card. He wants things to go his way. He thinks it's all about him. And he's talking rhetoric that suggests that we're going to come together, band together, in the name of what? Allah says, I'm enough. Call on me, apply your will in accord with my will, find out the way is the right way, the just way, the fair way. Get on it and stay on it. See? And then the work that you do will work on your behalf, work on our behalf. But if we don't do those things, we don't honor those things, we don't consistently trust those things, then we're going to have a problem. But it's a problem that we brought on our own self. So that is looked at differently than when you have a problem and you want to play the blame game. You know, you want to blame somebody else, and you're just as big of a provocateur as they are. It's going to get considered. Because God tells us from the beginning, I'm a just God. I'm a fair God. Try to convince me to take sides. Do the right thing. Don't want to be right. Want to do right. It's bigger than, it becomes bigger than you are. See, when you hear Allah saying this to us, it's what it's saying to us. Allahu Akbar. Bigger than, greater than. So if you're going to serve me, if you're going to believe in me, if you're going to trust me, if you're going to be guided by me, you got to have this bigness. Because some people will convince you, man, we had a gun, man, we could have saw that thing, right? No. No. Both of you all are going to live to fight another day and maybe converse with one another and become friends, become cohorts, become available to protect each other because you're in the same community. You got the same belief system. I like you because I'm like you. See? These are the things that we need to be aware of when it comes to life. You know, our attitude. The attitude is the spirit. That appetite that we talked about. Hunger and thirst. Quench your thirst. When it's not just talking about water. Maybe it's talking about money. Maybe it's talking about sex. Maybe it's talking about power. See? Or maybe it's making an innuendo because it's metaphysical. It has to be introduced in a symbolic way or in a way that you can relate to it. Like what the sun represents, what the moon represents, what the stars represent. The big magnitude of what's going on forces us to have to use a symbol or something to explain it, and so we can grasp it because it's not seen. So we use the things that are seen to help us to see the things that aren't seen. And guess what? It works. You get a greater sense of heaven when you stop thinking location and geography. It's when that spirit comes over you, or that state of mind comes over you, or that attitude comes over you, and you put your trust in the Lord. You stop saying this or doing this or thinking this or doing whatever, and you start realizing what we mentioned earlier. God's in control. He's always been in control. And that in the lahi rajiun, that's more than just what we say when someone dies. That's to make us aware that we come from God and we go back to God, that he's in control then, he's in control now. He's in control for the birth, he's in control for the death. He's in control for this decision, he's in control for that decision. And we make it with him in mind. But we can't do that if we don't have our mind in a position to do that. And we get caught up in anger, we get caught up in payback, we get caught up in some kind of unrighteous thought that leads us to do something that's equally as bad as what was done. But if we do have that conscience in place, it'll check it before it gets that far. And we're told what to do when we get too angry. See, these are the little subtle nuances that have to be in our life to make us have a better life and a more peaceful life, and a life that is we're in control and we're not under control of circumstances or even individuals that are promoting stuff that we know is not right. Promoting something for us to do something, and we know we're doing it or we're part of it because we are weak. We're in a state of emotion, and people present it to us, and we buy it hook, line, and sinker. We have to examine these things rationally and logically and see what conclusions we draw after we examined it. Without that, we're going to make some bad decisions. And we learn and live to regret it. See? It's this thing called life again. You can do that, and then when it's over, when it's said and done and over, I'm talking about the final, the final breath of life is that's when it's over. Not when we necessarily get closure or we're trying to get closure. No, when we don't have it's any more to say about it. We're not here. We're not alive, and we're not alive. We just missed that opportunity. Or we have to put it in the role of unfinished business. Or we said something or did something that we regretted, and we can't change it because we're not here to do it. See? That's the way life is. So what does that mean? You have to give it its value. You have to recognize it. What was the James Brown? I can't think of it. It'll come to me. But yeah, his statement about how we live life, and one of the things was his get up. And every time it appears that something is happening negative or beating you down or setting you back, get up and get yourself back together. Get your plan back in place. Go to plan B. You know, show people that, you know, one scenario that looks like I've been defeated is not going to defeat me. You know, look at sports now. And so I don't believe it's going to happen this way, but it's the attitude and approach you go forward. You know, LeBron James talking about we got one game at a time. They haven't won that fourth one yet, so we're still in the game. Now, I believe they are going to win. I think the team is not played together long enough, and the age is catching up with them, and a lot of other things. So, you know, and this other team is young and they're hungry, and I think they're going to prevail. But when it comes to life, a winning attitude is a must. So that way, when you don't succeed or you lose, it doesn't make you a loser. You shouldn't think like a loser because you didn't win. You should be able to handle losing just as well as you handle winning. And it doesn't mean that you get good at losing. It means that you get good at handling a loss. If a loss is just something that you take on your road to winning. Because winners never quit and quitters never win. That's the way it is. Attitude you have to have. Life will beat you down and beat you up if you don't have that attitude. And it comes from not positive thinking necessarily. It comes from us getting scientific, but scriptural scientific. Well, God and his word shows us how to be when we encounter obstacles. Tells us unequivocally that there's going to be toil, difficulty, and ease. And to get it in our heads and get it correct and get it that it's a necessary part of life, it's said again. Verily, after difficulty comes ease. And even the word, for in the mouth, relief comes now. Because what? You haven't failed. You recognize this setback and you know what to do to set yourself up for a comeback. Call it wordsmith, call it whatever you want to call it. It helps you understand and get back in command of the situation with a simple statement. Yes, I'm down, but I'm not all the way out. As long as I'm living, I can overcome the obstacle. I just need time, maybe the right questions, and being around the right people, and also having a great relationship with my Lord, the Creator, God, whichever word you may choose. Real belief in that is what our lives need to reflect. Once you have that in your life, reflects that, once again, we know what it is. Success. It's coming toward you. You're coming toward it. If you start seeing it that way, when y'all have this meeting, it's nothing but joy. Because what? Success is going to follow. It is so possible because you did the things that made it possible. And then you called on the Creator to help you with the final outcome. And it was for the right intentions. It was for the right good, for the right cause. It wasn't for your ego. It wasn't for our ego. It wasn't ego-driven, or it wasn't monetarily driven. And then watch the prayer get answered. Watch the blessing come. Watch when you're sure what happened with someone else, they can be happy for you. Because you were humble, you were worthy, you kept your dignity, you kept your wits about you. You didn't do anything and do something at all costs to cause it to happen or make it happen. Go back to that same thing. You don't get in a position where you sell your soul or you make an indecent or unrighteous agreement. It's just the way that it is. So, 2 minutes. We want to conclude. We want to put it out there that there's many programs coming on from Tuesday all the way to Sunday and back again on Monday. Full schedule I don't have it right before me, but I know it gets announced. And then also you go to IWMD Blog Talk, and I think there's a printout where you can get, find out exactly what's going to be happening that day and then the times and get an understanding of what the subject matter is and et cetera, et cetera. So it's there to be had. I'm going to get better at announcing it on my program and whatnot. But one of the reasons that I'm affiliated with this group is because I believe in them. I believe in what they're doing. And I hope that some of us will come across in a way to benefit somebody. I mean, because it's definitely beneficial. It's definitely something that benefits and it tells people exactly what to do under these circumstances. And that's what words do. They make us do whatever we understand them to mean. Words do make us do whatever we think they mean. And one of the things to talk about mean is not to be mean to one another. It shouldn't make you want to be mean. It should make you be meaningful, do meaningful things, not mean things. And so we conclude with that. We offer our prayer to you, and we offer it for you to make prayer for us. And stay tuned. You know, come again. You're welcome. Tell your friends. They're welcome. It's going to grow as we go. We're going to have special guests. We're going to ask you what do you want to talk about? And as long as it's not just sheer frivolous stuff that's nothing but a bunch of small talk, we'd be more than happy to have you on and or have a conversation about what you would like to hear more about that particular subject matter, because life is full. There's so many things to do, so much to be done. So let us conclude with that. Let's explore life like we want to really live it and make a difference in it. So we say the greetings of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you. And we thank you and welcome you, and we hope you'll be with us again next week, inshallah.